Some of our sins are public. Our blunders are out there for everyone to see. But some of our transgressions are kept secret. No one knows. Except for God, of course, who sees it all. Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll address one of the most devastating decisions in a woman's life. In fact, in more than 50 years in ministry, Chuck said he's seen few sins cause more humiliation and pain than this one. As a part of the classic series on the sanctity of life, we're talking today about abortion after the fact.
We live in an imperfect world. Disobedience happens on a daily basis. To require perfection of others or of ourselves is going too far. If I have learned anything in the 5 decades I have spent in the pastorate, is that sin happens on a regular basis. In others' lives and in my life, disobedience regularly occurs. Let me give you 4 statements that you can know for fact, all based upon the scriptures. Fact number 1, sin is sin and we all commit it. Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3, the Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Fact number 2. God is grieved, but never surprised or shocked by our disobedience. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. Now watch this. This is the reason you don't regard it lightly. Because those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. In other words, the mark of a true father with a true son, the mark of love, is that there must be discipline at times. Disobedience brings it to pass or necessitates it. We had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. Third fact. Some sins incur greater consequences than others. Some sins incur greater consequences than others. You know that. Proverbs, just following the book of Psalms, Proverbs number 5, or the chapter number 5. Let me show you from this passage and chapter 6 as well an example of these kind of sins that bear greater consequences. Proverbs 5 and verse 20. Why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. Now watch closely. His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. Sin is sin. God is grieved. But some sins incur lengthy consequences. though forgiven, they still bear consequences. There is still that recurring cycle of grief and depression. Fact number four, and the most important of the four as far as our subject is concerned, recovery and return to a fruitful life is God's desire for all of us. Recovery and a return to a fruitful life is God's desire for all of us. Discipline happens for a period of time, and then His grace comes to our rescue and gives us fruitfulness and purpose as we go on beyond the immobilizing impact of guilt and the horror of our failure. Now the question is how? How? What is needed to go on after I have committed an act that has lingering consequences? Let me conclude my message by spelling that out again in four ways. Number one, a full acknowledgement of the wrong that was done. If we agree with God, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A full acknowledgement of the wrong we have done. Second, genuine repentance following the confession. We don't say much, we don't hear much about repentance. We should, and now we must. Genuine repentance following confession. Listen to Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. It is our tendency to make lighter of sin than God does, and to stop merely with confession, and to forget the additional statement, he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. A full and complete forsaking of the act. A turning around in the mind, a reversal of emotions, from defense to a full acknowledgement. From an attempt to excuse it to an absolute and unguarded realization and confession that the whole of it was wrong. And a desire never to do it again. Psalm 51 is of great help because it is in a context of sexual failure. Psalm 51, beginning at verse 1, be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak and blameless when thou dost judge. There is no sense of, how could you do this to me, God? But rather, I acknowledge your right to do whatever you wish. I deserve nothing but judgment, and I acknowledge your right to bring it upon me. I'm impressed with the attitude as well as the words of the man. Sometimes I hear confessions, and I do wonder about the spirit of repentance. Confession is a statement. Repentance is a series of acts worked out in attitudes. There is an unguarded and even an admitted humiliation that accompanies it. Often there are tears. There is a desire to return to whomever and whatever situation to make it right. In the same passage, verse 12, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. O Lord, verse 15, open my lips that my mouth may declare thy praise. For thou dost delight not in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. There is a difference between remorse and repentance. Remorse is sorrow over being caught. Sadness brought on by the pain of the consequences. The humiliation of the loss of image. And the feeling of what will people say. And the remorseful feelings of knowing that you have brought reproach on the name of a family. Or on a church. Or on your own life. But genuine repentance in that we lose all concern for ourselves. We accept humiliation that we deserve and accompanies our disobedience and the grief we have caused others. I'll tell you, it is revealed in a contrite heart. A contrite heart. So my concern now is not to make anyone do penance, but to make certain that a confession is accompanied by genuine repentance, where there is this contrite heart, and we are broken, broken. And the process begins to work its way out when that occurs. I don't know how, I don't know why, I just know that's God's pattern. Third, in the process, we claim the cleansing God offers. We've seen it again and again through this passage in Psalm 51. In the process, we claim the cleansing God offers. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me. Verse 7, purify me, and I shall be clean. Wash me. I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart. Look at the references to cleansing, to being clean. A clean heart. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Sustain me with a willing spirit. And then look, I just read it. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways. I found that God often uses individuals to assist others, called here teaching transgressors thy ways. Teaching others who have made the same mistakes and committed the same wrongs in their lives. Who is better able to minister to those who are tempted to get an abortion than those who have had one? Who is better able to minister to those who are dying with cancer than you who have gone through the horrors of ministering to your loved one who died with cancer? Or perhaps you yourself have the disease. You are, in the words of Scripture, able to teach others God's ways, and who knows but what sinners will be converted. What a great opportunity to minister to people when we work our way through the process of full cleansing and forgiveness. Maybe you've never thought of it before, but you who have gone through this might be on the verge of a ministry you never dreamed possible. Number four, and this is so important, deliberately refuse to allow the adversary or anyone else to hold you in bondage to former sins. Deliberately refuse to allow the adversary or anyone else to hold you in bondage to former sins. Now, to work through this process, some need a counselor. Some need a paid professional Christian counselor to assist them through the therapy of recovery. Some need a pastor. Most need a support group of some kind. Certainly we need a friend to help us talk and walk our way through so that we sense God's full cleansing and full forgiveness, so we're able to go on and minister beyond and get away from the sinister nightmares and shadows of past wrongs. It may be such that it changes your course of a career. I believe there are certain sins that cause a minister to forfeit the right to be in a pulpit. But it doesn't mean that that person can no longer minister. There are many ways to minister beyond a place of highest public profile. And some of them become excellent in those areas of ministry. It may alter the direction of your future, but it doesn't mean you're finished, washed up, and shelved. And don't let anyone hold you under the bondage of forgiven sins from which you have repented. Now, a little bit of personal and compassionate counsel, which I have called advice to all who live with regret. You cannot undo the past. Don't try. I meet up with folks rather regularly who think that if they travel far enough and long enough, then the travel will cause them to erase the past. It won't erase the past. Drugs won't do it. Alcohol won't do it. Finding a wife and getting married won't necessarily remove what has been done in the past. It certainly will soften the blow of it as you walk with God. But you can't undo what has been done. You can't unscramble an egg. It's there. Don't try. Second, you may not be able to cope with the present. Don't quit. You may not be able to cope with the present. Some of you are having a whale of a job trying to do that, and I commend you for not quitting. Get help. Go back to that statement I gave you under that third fact regarding the process of finding full forgiveness, and walk through that very carefully. Have I fully acknowledged my sin before God, my part of the wrong? And it might include forgiving the partner who walked away. It might include avenues of great pain right now in your life. Walk through the process. Don't hold anything back. It might include going to individuals that were hurt or offended or wronged in some way, in whatever area, not just the abortion area, but whatever area. Don't quit. Being unable to cope simply means the process isn't complete. Don't quit. And finally, you must not waste the future. Don't hide. I cannot believe that God gives anyone breath in his or her lungs for the purpose of just existing. God has a purpose for us. He is well able to take our lives. Whenever he wishes it to be our last, it will be our last. There is a reason to go on. Every time I come back from a plane trip and our wheels hit the ground and we move to a safe arrival, I go, whew, there is a future, and I go on. And there are times in your life as well when you come to a place and you realize you felt the hot breath of death on the back of your neck. There's a reason to go on. And if we're going to say with full faith to people who have gone through the horrors of divorce, there is a future, then I must say to you who have gone through the sin and disobedience and humiliation of an abortion, there is a future. God has a purpose, and it's not that you spend your days in hiding. The best-kept secret in most churches and many a family is abortion. If you question that, when is the last time you had anyone say, in any sense of public gathering, I have had an abortion? You probably will live your entire adult life and not hear those words. But my friends, if these statistics that we shared with you earlier are true, and indeed they are, even in evangelical circles, it has happened often. My hope is that you will be able to get beyond it and stop those statistics and be a part of the answer. I'd like for us to bow together for a few moments of reflection and preparation. I would like to lead us in a time of prayer. and give you time to reflect on your own life. Have you dealt fully and completely with the wrongs of the past? Scripture says if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Have you forgiven yourself and agreed with God about the forgiveness, having repented and having come to terms with the wrong? If not, do so. Today can truly be the first significant day of a fruitful life for you. This is the time to start. This is yet another moment for you to recognize the death of Jesus Christ on your behalf and to turn your life over to Him. Our Father, we acknowledge fully and without reservation our need for forgiveness, for we have all fallen short. Not one person in this place is in any realm above another. We all are in the category of sinners. Most of us have gone to the cross and gone beyond it because of Christ's death, and we thank you for His forgiveness at Calvary. Some have yet to come to that place. And I pray that you will use these moments of reflection to bring them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we worship, whose name we adore, until He returns. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's possible you're thinking about a friend or loved one who needs to hear this message of compassion and forgiveness. It's one of four in Chuck Swindoll's classic series on the sanctity of life. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insightworld.org. Chuck has a closing illustration, and I'd encourage you to stay with us for just a few moments longer. First, though, whenever we present a program on a sensitive issue like today's, we know it stirs up lots of extra emotion in those who are living with regret. Perhaps you're worried about a decision you made in the past, or you're losing sleep over issues you just can't control. Well, Chuck wrote a booklet called How Can I Win Over Worry? And if you've never contacted Insight for Living, we'd like to send you a free copy. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/worry. Insight for Living has never dodged the tough issues. We believe God's Word speaks to every aspect of life. Our job, our mission, is to present the truth and allow the gospel to do its work. Chuck?
Across Great Britain and beyond, he was affectionately known as the Prince of Preachers, revered by a generation who looked to him for spiritual direction. Charles Haddon Spurgeon made his mark. When the accolades poured in and people were making a great fuss over his success, Spurgeon deflected the attention and pointed the praise to the gospel. He clarified, "It's not me doing the work. It's not me who defends the gospel." "No," he said, "the gospel is like a caged lion." And now I quote from one of his sermons. Spurgeon declared, "A great many learned men are defending the gospel. Yet I always notice that the gospel itself is not being preached. The best apology for the gospel is to let the gospel out of the cage." I love that. Spurgeon added, "Let the lion out and see who will dare to approach him. Preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The lion of the tribe of Judah will soon drive away all his adversaries." Isn't that magnificent? My friend, for more than 35 years, Insight for Living has followed the same mindset, the very same model. We've released the lion from its cage and stepped out of the way. so the Spirit of God can do His special work through the presentation of the gospel. But we're never alone in doing so. Our ministry is a together ministry. God has chosen men and women just like you to come alongside us with financial support. We simply couldn't do it without you. So as we conclude another year of partnership, please be generous as you give to Insight for Living. Together, let's preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with abandon. And then, let's step out of the way and allow the Lion of Judah to do His work.
And here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll. You can choose one of two avenues. If you're listening in the United States, give us a phone call right now at 1-800-772-8888. You can also go online and make a donation at insight.org. That's insight.org. It's your generosity that allows us to bring the truth of God's Word to men and women right here in your community and around the world as well. And today, to say thank you for your financial gift, we'll send the new devotional from Chuck Swindoll called Names of Jesus, 30 chapters highlighting 30 names of Jesus. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. On Monday's program, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll present A Plea for Morality, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Abortion, After the Fact, was copyrighted in 1990, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.